brother Keith will be leading our singing just a moment. It's good to have everyone here. It's great to look out and see a full house. Our guests, we are glad you are here. Hope you come back anytime, and every time you are in the area, you are honored guests. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask after service. Members on the sick list, Stacy had her foot surgery this last week. She's also here as well. She had surgery, so still recovering, but we want to keep her in our prayers. Also, we're going to have a Pam Bay, Northwest. She's going through all her tests and stuff. Hopefully all that will go well with her. Aaron also wants to say that his grandmother is recovering from her surgery. Members out of town, Courtney will be leaving. She'll be back in D.C. after that late, so the murder she does now. She's going to be leaving the start of the city around 10:30 this morning. All the work that we've made. This is an invitation copy by Brother Mark Evans from Summit Cleveland. I don't know of any meetings in the area, but we will meet again at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Order of services, offering prayer will be by Brother Aaron, Judy, by Brother Mark Hayes, and Kevin Keats. He's going to have a song leading for Brother Chuck to bring us a lesson this morning. Offering prayer will be by Brother Dan. We had a couple of deaths of all of people in Northwest in this past week. Jerry Williams, Leroy and Jesus Williams, his son, passed away yesterday. And also Harry Lewis, his son, passed away this past week. We're giving our prayer. Tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at Clark's house, Bible study. Remember that. That's all I know at this time. If anything else, please bring it up at the service.
Number 810. We have a full house this morning. Good to see everyone out. We have a lot of kids in the audience. Thought we'd start off with a song that everybody knows. Everybody should be singing. Number 810. Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, Jesus.
song will be number 682. Number 682. God be the glory. After we sing this song, our opening prayer.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice.
Children of God. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to worship You, and we pray that we worship You in spirit and in truth this day. Thinking about this congregation and things that we are thankful for within this congregation, we're thankful that elders and deacons have been appointed. We're thankful for the godly lives that these families are living. Thankful for the elders and the direction, guidance that they give, feeding the flock, and looking out for us.
Father, we're thankful that you've been answering our prayers and dealing with a building. As we walk in and we see this library full, we think about the building, and we think about the good things that are going on, Lord, and you are blessing us in that. We're thankful for the financial means that continues to come this way, Lord. We pray prudence on that, and that guidance in that, and continue guidance with the elders in dealing with those finances and purchasing of the building and those things that are going on with that, Lord. That your hand is in that and guiding them. Wisdom is being used, Father. So continue to give them, Lord, knowledge and then wisdom dealing with that knowledge. We're thankful for the many people who have contributed to that. Lord, you give the increase, and we're so very thankful for that, Father. We're thankful for the Bible classes and correspondence courses, the bulletin, the radio program, the TV program that's going on, Father, and that you will give the increase, Lord, in those things that are happening. Father, as was mentioned in the announcements, of course, Sister Stacy and the surgery she recently had, and she'll continue to be able to heal from that, Lord, and your healing power continue with that, Lord. Thankful for the successful surgery that my grandmother went through, Lord, and thank you for that and her healing, Lord. And on a personal note, Father, that she will hear the gospel and to respond to the gospel, Lord. We're thankful for your love and your kindness for guarding us and guiding us. We ask you to be with those who have lost loved ones recently, even those here amongst us losing friends and loved ones recently. Be with their hearts and their minds during this time. Continue to give them peace and comfort during this time. Be with us as we continue to worship you this morning.
Thank you. morning, Matthew 26 chapter, beginning 26 verse. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood, the New Testament, which is shed for many, and you shall see it. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Our merciful Father, we humble ourselves before you and thank you for this first day of the week, this opportunity now that we have, Father, your children in this place. We direct our minds back to the time when Jesus suffered the agonizing death upon the cross. Feel that plan. We are so humbled, Father, by the magnitude of that sacrifice being given by the Son, that you were willing to allow him to die that death, that he was willing to submit to your will going to the cross for the sins of mankind. We know, Father, that there was nothing that we could do, that you looked down upon us in tender mercy and saw our hopeless strength. Search out our lives and see how we stay in the relationship. Bless us in Jesus' name. Continue our thanks for this fruit of the vine, which is communion, that shed blood upon the cross. Dear Father, we ask for you to bless us and take it. You're saying that, and it's pleased to accept it. Bless us in Jesus' name. day of the week, it was this local congregation had an opportunity to turn back a portion of God's financial blessing we had this past year. Father, we come ourselves before you and thank you for the opportunity now that we have to return a portion of blessing.
Mark on your psalm book. Mark song number 103. Psalm 103 will be our song meditation after Chuck's lesson. Once you mark that page, turn over to Psalm 274. For 274. It's convenient for you to please stand. We'll sing this song. For 274.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort.
kids, I say, wow, I can't wait till we have our building. Lord willing, the 27th of this month, we will close on it. And of course, as we're able to do the renovations, start doing that. So continue to pray for that. Like Aaron mentioned, that is prayer. And of course, for everybody being here, especially our visitors, we have a lot of visitors. We're glad you're here. We hope we make you feel welcome as we get into a study of God's Word today. Please open your Bibles. We're going to go to the Old Testament to begin where we're going to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the second chapter. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading from that chapter. We've all heard the same defining moments. We've had those defining moments, maybe in our life, you've heard the expression. Facing a decision that will make or break it, so to speak. You make it one way, it'll take you down that path. If you make another decision contrary to that, it's a completely different direction. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at Moses' life. We're going to compare him to our life. Four defining moments, four choices that Moses made in his life, different times in his life, changed his course. And for you and I, same thing. And so we're going to start off by looking at the first example in the second chapter. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, he saw an Egyptian beating an Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Pharaoh heard of this matter, and he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Let's stop there. Our first reading. What we're noticing here, and I can go over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, to back up with the inspired word what Moses did on that occasion. But that was a time in his early adult life when he chose to join God's people. I mean, he knew those were his people. But that was a time when he chose. Now, that's a different lesson of all that transpired there, but I'm just wanting us to see that at that moment in time, a choice was made. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. A defining moment in Moses' life is when you decide, you know what, I want to be a part of God's family. I want to be his child. And that goes for each and every one of us here. That's a defining moment in our life. Whether you have made it or whether you are going to make it, that's it. And what is your choice? That's the choice. I'm going to decide. I am going to become a child of God. As Aaron mentioned in his prayer, when you think of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, how blessed we are to be called his children, to be called a child of God. What if Moses didn't do what he decided to do? He saw his people being punished. That's okay. I'm just going to enjoy palace life. I'm going to enjoy the passing pleasure of the sea. I'm just going to get all I can get out of this life. Well, it will take you a completely different direction. You're not going to have the Lord on your side. You're not going to have God's people on your side. You're going to have the friends of this world. But it's so different when somebody decides, you know what, now, I want to become a child of God. I want to become a Christian. That's a defining moment in my life, in your life. When you make that decision, you remember when you made that decision? And if you haven't made that decision, I want you to understand that that is crucial for your life in this world. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go over to the book of 2 Corinthians quickly. The 6th chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Paul writes to these brethren, verse 12, you are not restricted from us, but you have restricted by your own affliction, our affection. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? There's just nothing in common. We have made the choice, and as Moses did, I want to be a part of God's people. That's what it's all about. And as he mentions in verse 17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. I tell you, if there's not joy in your heart when you come here today and you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are missing out on one. You can be here, but there is a different atmosphere. There's a different attitude within God's people of coming together with one another and having that in common. That we're family. Because there was that defining moment in our lives. We could have chose to just sit in our seat. We could have chose not to make that decision. But we made it. Just like Moses did. I can't take it anymore. But I'm living this double life, so to speak. I'm living in the palace and look at what my people are going through. You know what? We're different. And we have chosen to be part of God's family. We stand with one another. We stand up for one another. And what a bond that is. What a hope that we have. And I want to encourage you today. If you haven't had that moment, you need to have that. You need to make that choice to be a part of God's family. Got three more points, and I really like to stand there all morning. If you go to Exodus, the 4th chapter, okay, read chapters 3 and in chapters 4, you can read about how that Moses is called by God. He chooses to leave a secure life with his children and his wife to answer God's call to free his people. And when you read through all that, I'm not saying he's leaving his children and he's leaving his wife. No, I'm talking about he had chosen to leave a secure, comfortable life. I think we can relate to that. You ever get into that comfort zone in your life, and you just know that God has better things and other things that you can do, but it's out of your comfort zone. But we as God's people, we get out of our comfort zone. We try to do the things that God wants us to do. And so when I read in chapter 4, when all that was said and done, Moses decides, you know what, I'm going to Egypt. Look at verse 18, chapter 4. So Moses went in and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. The Lord said to Moses and Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife, his son, and set out on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God. Now, there's a lot of things that happened up to that point. I know Moses was making all kinds of excuses. He didn't want to go. I'm just not an eloquent speaker. He just making excuse after excuse. Finally, he realized that he had to go. He made that choice. That was a defining moment. You know what? You're at home and you've got that security, the way your life is going. Now it's time for you to make a change, and it's different. And that goes for you and I. It's easy for you and I to not push ourselves and to do things that God expects us to do as we grow in God's family and as we mature. We are constantly evolving. And there are those defining moments in our life where we say, you know what, there's going to be a change. We as a family, here's what we're going to do. popped into my head, but Keith might not agree with this, but you know, when I brought it up about a couple months ago about his move to Tupelo, Mississippi, he might not view it that way. Maybe he does, but that was a defining moment. Can I move, and this congregation's down there, it's larger. I don't know, maybe I would have moved. You got this, you're gonna get a promotion, you know, here you go. But you know, you're faced with a decision, and we all face those kind of things. You know what? I know it would be easier to do this. You know what? No, I'm gonna make this choice. I'm going to not just be comfortable. I'm going to go out and do things that are going to get me to do the kind of things that are gonna help me, help the body of Christ, help the kingdom. And the passage that comes to mind that ties into this is over in Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to use one particular facet of our lives when we get out of our comfort zone. When Jesus was talking in Matthew 9, the last two verses says that he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Getting out of our comfort zone of wanting to talk to people and invite people and just do what we can to try to reach the lost. That's just one aspect of what I'm saying. It's easy to get comfortable. That's why the Lord had to write to the church of the Laodiceans. You talk about getting comfortable. They became so comfortable, they were lukewarm. And so they weren't hot and they weren't cold. They're just lukewarm, and the Lord has asked, spew you out of my mouth. And you and I'll tell you this one. If you want to be hot, you want to be on fire for the Lord, you got to get out of that comfort zone, that secure surrounding. I mean, you think of Moses and where he is at, and think about what he's going to have to do. Here he is, he's got his family, he's got his children, he's got his wife, everything's going great, and God says, go to Egypt. What? Leave all of this? It isn't so much that God is asking you guys to pack up and move to Afghanistan. But the point is, he's just wanting us to do a lot of things in our lives to help others, to help ourselves, to help our families. God expects that of us. Those are those redefining moments in our life when we just take charge. And we start doing the kind of things that God wants. And I just want us to step up is the point. And do the things that God wants to do, whether we're at work, at play, in our home, especially thinking about in our home. Of course, the bulletin deals a little bit with that today. This one I want to spend a little bit of time on as we go to the 32nd chapter. Rather interesting one. This is, to me, it's a defining moment as far as telling me the kind of character Moses. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Moses for a moment. I mean, just think of it. You're thinking about, wow, man, I was going to be drowned, and I was raised in the palace. You know, God was with me. And God chose me to lead the children of Israel out. And, well, man, things are just great. And then things are so bad with the Israelites. Look what happens here. Chapter 32, beginning in verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a golden calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen the people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, I may consume them, and I will make you," get this? He tells Moses, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Moses pleaded with the Lord God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm of your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore to your own self, and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and this land I have spoken of, I shall give your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. You talk about a defining moment in the life of someone. Right there, I'm thinking, good. You're lost. My gain. I'm going to be the new people. I'm going to be the one that can say, it's through me that there's going to be a great nation now. It's through Moses. Moses. Defining moment in his life. When he rejected the offer that a new nation that would be through him. What's that telling him? Well, he's revealing that the service that he was offering to the Lord is not all about him. To me, it's so important. And I think about my own life. I'm not throwing myself right into this point here, especially. All the others, too. So, Chuck, it's all about you. All about you. Not about him, but the Lord, his God, he wants it. It's not whether I get ahead and whether I get a raise and I get the prestige and I'm the one that's put up in the forefront here and I get the praise all the time. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And Moses understood that point. And that's a defining moment for us as God's people, is that you and I know how we are not going to act. I'll tell you what. You want to see an example of this? It was a defining moment. You say, well, Chuck, how could I ever have a defining moment like Stephen? Do I have to wait until somebody's going to stone me to death? Well, no, you're not really doing that, but I just want us to see this in Acts 7. Remember when he's being stoned in verse 59, they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Don't do that. Come on now, Stephen, let me just hold it against them. They're mean, nasty people. No, it's not about me. It's not about me wanting vengeance. It's not about me wanting some kind of satisfaction. I want them to go to heaven. Well, revealing our true colors. It's the same thing as what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Those defining moments in our life where we are not going to go that way. When we start going that way, folks, it takes us down the path we don't want to go. But we as God's people understand that it's not about us. And so we're not in the forefront. We are humbling ourselves before the Lord. The opposite of that, of course, here it is. Well, you have examples, folks. Not so much the opposite, much wanting. But over in Luke 18. Luke 18, you know this story well. Verse 9, he spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves. We're not trusting in ourselves. It's not all about me. I don't want the world evolving around me, Chuck. Remember, I've quoted many times Acts 8, verse 4. When they were persecuted, they went everywhere preaching the word. Who are the they? I want names. If that were me back then, hey, you know, Paul gets, you know, names everywhere. You know, who are the they? I want to be. I don't know who the they are. They were members of the body of Christ. It wasn't about them, per se, making a name for themselves. But you see it here. Look at verse 10. Two men went up the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a Catholic. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like others. Extortioners, unjust adulterers, I even fast, or even as this tax collector, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, comes, not so much he could raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, sinner. It's all about, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. I'm just trying to get to heaven. I want to serve you. Now, if we were going to go back and study that story of Moses, was it a test for Moses? Was God going to go back on his word? The point was, if Moses didn't want it. And Moses is telling the Lord, you know what, we're not wanting anybody else there to get the benefit of putting us down or putting you down and saying anything bad against you. And we're mindful of that within this church. We're not going to act in such a way that's going to cause people in the community to say, and that's the river ridden. They do that kind of stuff. They approve of that? No, we're trying to live godly in this world. We're trying to convert people to Christ. We're trying to be shining lights. Matthew chapter fire. And we're lights in this community. And we're trying to do all that we can to reach the lost. So we're getting the name out there. We want people to come to Christ and listen to his message. That's why we get excited. I was telling the guys at the ball field the other day, when we were at Caleb's game there, I said, I was telling him, have you seen how much traffic is on Van Road?
Car. No, wait 10 minutes. Car.
Get out on Van Road there on the week. I mean, the traffic is crazy. The church building is crazy. They talk about getting the name out. People know that you're there and you're teaching the word. That's what you want. You get out there.
Okay, that was it.
But the point is, it's not about making a name for ourselves. It's furthering the cause of our Lord. And that was a defining moment in the life of Moses. And I don't want to be like that guy. And that point of just saying, God, no, I don't want it to be. It's not about me. And I would hope that I would have the wisdom as time goes on to make those decisions. But that doesn't matter. All right. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers. Go over here. We can all relate to this. This is going to be a defining moment for every one of us here, because I'll tell you. Well, those of us who did the first one, we chose to be part of God's family. If you haven't, I really want to encourage you to do that. But what happens when you become a child of God and you do something really? God, what'd you say? What's bad? No big thing. See, I look at Moses here in Numbers chapter 20 and in verse 11. It says that Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation of the animals drank. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Hear what happened? His whole life. It's all about taking them to the promised land. And now God says to Moses, you're not going into the promised land. You're not going. And you want to see something rather touching? Go to the next book. Go to Deuteronomy, chapter 35. Chapter 35. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 34. Moses, guys. I mean, it's hard to sum it up in 30 seconds here, his whole life, but you got to remember, going to Egypt, the plague, all the problems he had, leads the children of Israel, crosses the water, the people that were complaining, I was afraid that, that was the point where I'm going to make you a great man. Moses went through hardship after hardship after hardship. His goal is, I've got to get these people to the promised land. Remember, he gets up to the promised land. He sends in the spies. And, of course, two of them said we can do it. 10 of them says we can't. And then they wander in the wilderness. And it's during that time. What does Moses do? Moses strikes the rock when he's told to speak to it. God says, you're not leading them in. And then you have the vision here of Moses being able to look at the promised land, but he's not able to go into it. You know what was a defining moment, again, for Moses? A defining moment was he was not going to hold that against God and turn bitter. You go to Hebrews 11 chapter. Moses is talked about as a godly man. What happened in Matthew 17? The Mount of Transfiguration? You got Moses there, guys. There's Moses. You're going to get to go to heaven, Moses. You're going to get to serve the Lord. Yes, you did something really bad over here. You don't get to the promised land. You ever do anything real bad? Your life. Sometimes people, I don't know if you can compare, but sometimes people do something really bad in their life, according to Matthew 19:9. You could never, ever, ever get married again. you changed my entire life. I had plans for my life. But you make mistakes that you can get forgiveness of if you repent of them and turn to the Lord. Heaven can be yours. But you know what? You don't turn bitter. You don't turn to the Lord. I could see Moses just sitting there on the mountain going, I can't believe you're not letting me go in. This was my whole life. This is what it was all about. No, Mom. Moment for you. How are you going to die? Is it going to be like Job's wife? Curse God and die. Job. Now, I realize this world has hardships. I realize that there's good and bad that happens all the time in this world. Galatians chapter 5. Here's a whole long list. I told you guys, you ever do something really bad? Sometimes we do bad things. It's not right. It's called sin, by the way. But Galatians 5:19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. There are times when brethren here look at their lives and they'll go, you know what, Jeff? I have made some bad choices. But when you've made those bad choices, have you been like Moses and been a defining moment in your life when you're saying, you know what, though? That's not a time to turn my back on the Lord. I obviously did. Moses did, right? He obviously didn't listen to the Lord. He struck the rock. Oh, you might want to try to justify. God, if you hung around those Israelites, a bunch of complainers, you'd have struck it too. Okay. I would hope that I would have been like Moses and turned bitter towards God. As a defining moment of accepting the fact that I did something wrong. Sometimes it's hard for people to admit when they've done something wrong. Find examples of that over and over and over in the scripture. And it took David and Samuel to understand that what he did was so wrong. You know, and so when a man of God comes to him and tells him a story about a person who has a pet lamb, and he gets all upset over this. I'm thinking, wait a second. It's just a story. But not only that, it wasn't your land. Why are you getting upset about it? You ever think about that? I mean, he's just telling a story about a guy who took that one lamb. And when here's this guy who has a lot, but he takes the one lamb from his family and feeds it to him. Yeah. And David gets upset with it. Hey, why are you killing that person? It had nothing to do with it. But he understood justice. And when he realized that he was the one, you know, thou art the man, he realized that. He realized how wrong he was. A defining moment in his life of willing to accept the fact by saying, I have sinned. And folks, we have gone full circle. At this point, goes all the way back to point number one. All the way back to point number one. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. So when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do you mean? What shall we do? Oh, are you acknowledging the fact that you crucified the Son of God? Are you acknowledging the fact that you're lost and you have no hope without you? Absolutely. You have to come to that point. You have to come to God like David with that broken and contrite heart. That's how the Lord wants us to come to Him. And Moses had to realize what he did was a terrible thing. You say, folks, what was so terrible about that? Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. What was so horrible about him striking the rock? Because you guys know, right? Your Old Testament history. He was actually told at one time to strike the rock. Isn't that interesting? Strike the rock over here, it's okay. Don't strike the rock over here, it's wrong. Well, if it's okay over here, it's got to be okay over here. I find it interesting thing. You talk about instrumental music before. I use that text to show them. You know, because they'll say, well, God liked instrumental music under the Old Testament. He'll like it under the New Testament. What are you talking about? Under the New Testament, he just said sing. The Old Testament was different. Well, God doesn't change his mind. Have you heard the story about Moses? Strike the rock, don't strike the rock. Strike the rock, you're going to suffer for it. to understand that we are held accountable for our actions. It says in Romans, or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12, what's going to help you and I, he says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, of which was Moses, we talked about, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, did you get that? The joy that was set before him endured the cross. Was the cross the joy that was set before him? No, the cross wasn't the joy that was set before him. Despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of God. Folks, we've got to keep our eye on the mark. And we won't turn bitter. And we won't get it caught up in self-pity. When we do something wrong, admit it. Move forward. Accept the consequences of our action. There are consequences. Some are physical. Some of these examples I gave you there. Both, those are defining moments for them in his life. And they are defining moments in our life. And so I want to ask you right now, as we quickly analyze the four points and we turn this into an invitation, open up your songbook, by the way. Keith has selected song number 103. I love this. Come to Jesus. You're not coming to Chuck. Not coming to the River Ridge Church of Christ, you're coming to the Lord. Come to Him on His terms. Choose, number one, choose to be a child of the Lord. Put Him first. Step it up. Get out of your comfort zone. Do the things, the challenges, to grow, to mature in the faith. Don't get caught up in the idea that it's all about you. And the last point, you're not perfect. We've been talking about how God expects perfection, but He knows you can't. That's why He said in 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John. Yeah, I know chapter 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not within you. But chapter 2 verse 1 says, my children, I write these things to you that you sin not. We don't have perfection. But when we transgress, folks, we don't blame the Lord, we don't blame somebody else, we blame I have sinned. And move forward. Repent. Come back to God. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come on this morning. If you're a child of God, it's gone away. Restore. Come back to God on His terms. He can be a help to you in any way. Let it be known as we stand together and sing. Song number 103.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
together.